Until 3, this is Darren DeMello on 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And we are here with Swanbourne Veterinary Centre's Dr. Tony Vigano to take your calls if you've got questions about your pooch, your feline, your, well, equine, your rabbit, any one of a number of things, 922-118-82. It's 25 to 1. Thank you for joining us again, Tom. Always appreciate it's you spending pleasure. Your time with pleasure. Us. Off to Woodvale. G'day, Darren.
Another Darren.
Yep. Hi, gentlemen.
What's wrong with your cat?
I have a cat when he's got about the size of my palm. He's got matted hair on the bottom of his chest.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know the less painful way, obviously, of trying to get rid of it, or should I just, because it's got to that size now, just in that one area, should I take him to a groomer and just have it shaved and not persevere? Or
I would get it shaved off, Darren. I know exactly what you're saying. Is he a long-haired cat?
Yeah, long-haired cat, but it's just that chest area has just been a bit lazy, and normally you do brush him, and it's...
Yeah, what happens is, as particularly long-haired cats, but as cats get older, they become less. They don't do their housekeeping as much, and in fact, if they've got a flea problem as well, they lick their coat continually, and so it balls it up into these mats. And I know what you're saying. The less painful way, you're meaning for yourself as well, because the longer the hair in a cat, generally the shorter the temper, and we generally sedate them. I must say, you know, long-haired cat, they come in for dematting, and you've just virtually got to stand aside with a chair and just sort of get them into a room, and then gradually get closer to them. There's a lovely story about how you pill a cat. Goes
really?
On for about two pages and starts off with someone trying to grab the cat and finishes up with the cat up the telegraph pole outside and the bloke in hospital. But in this case, I would certainly take it to a groomer. I would take it to your... And most vets would have that facility. Some groomers seem to have a magical sort of calming effect on cats. I've had groomers who can do all sorts of things with cats that I can barely get near. But having said that, they're few and far between. And I think just a bit of sedation and clipping that off.
Darren, have you ever been there when it's happened, the grooming?
No, we always groomed him ourselves, but we've just been, it's just got a little bit out of control.
Well, once it balls up like that, Darren,
don't try
and clip it off with a pair of scissors, because you'll finish up having to take the cat in to get stitched up. So I would certainly say, look, and it would be simple. I've got a pair of hand clippers which are very silent, and if the cat was half amenable, I could probably shave that off quite quickly, because if it's only on the chest, it's probably, probably not that deeply rooted into the skin.
I've tried the normal sort of hair clippers, but they're too fine and won't cut through. They need some more robust blades.
Yeah, you need a proper pet clipper. But yeah, I'd go along to your local vet, who almost certainly have, you know, a nurse who's very adept at holding them, or they'll use sedation and clip it off. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I have a particularly obstreperous older cat who doesn't react particularly well to getting groomed or any none of a number of other things. But last time round, I actually held him whilst he was groomed, and he was quite I'd say amenable. He was grumpy about it, but he didn't lash out anywhere near as much when I was, because him and I get on quite well. I'm turning into an old cat myself as I get older.
But it
didn't have to be sedated. So as an option, potentially.
I think it's an option, Darren, but I must say with cats, you just never know. You know, from day to day, from minute to minute, they can be okay. You know, they'll go and they'll, oh, he's in a good mood, quickly do it. Other times you go in and he's, you know, he's sharpening his claws as you see him, as he sees you from half a block away. So it really depends, but I've found a tranquilizer is probably the best and the safest way for all parties.
It's the surest bet, I think, you find.
And as they get older, longer-haired cats suffer more and more from it. And then, of course, under these fur balls and mats, which sit about half an inch from the skin, all the fleas get under there as well, which drives him crazy as well. So it's a very distressing problem.
And you talk about a little truism there about the longer the hair, the shorter the temper. Is that because they have so many issues with their hair? Or is it just a breed thing?
Look, it's probably one of my crass generalisations, but I really do think that, over the years I've noted that the long-haired cats are generally the ones that are most difficult to handle. Now, I can hear all the cat people screaming and blue with that remark, but mine's purely made as a technician in the field.
And purely observational at this stage. Like, there's
anecdotal.
No scientific research into that study as of yet.
Anecdotal.
That's right. 922-118-82 if you've got a question or a comment for Tony. PJ in Vic Park, hello.
G'day, lads.
Hey, PJ.
I've got a question about when you purchase a dog being a purebred, and we paid top dollar for our Pomeranian.
Yep.
And we love it to death, right? But we did, I was going to surprise my girlfriend by getting the right dog that she always wanted.
Mm.
And obviously a Pomeranian, you know, they don't shed their hair and all that stuff. They apparently they shed their hair once and it's a horrible, you know, they lose all their hair and then it comes back.
Yeah, they're one of the Spitz breeds. They are a Spitz breed. The smallest of the Spitz breeds. They used to be a much bigger dog, and then Queen Victoria, in her infinite wisdom, bred them down from about a 15-kilo dog to the current 4 or 5-kilo dog, because she was besotted by them.
Wow.
Just a bit of an aside.
She didn't start the trend of dogs in a handbag, did she?
Well, she may have done. But getting back to PJ, do you have any papers associated with the pedigree?
Well, this is what I'm asked for. Look, don't get me wrong, but we love this dog. She's a little rascal. We love her to death. But the thing is, and now she's about 4 or 5 months old now. We had her since about 2 months.
Yep.
And obviously, we've never had a Pomeranian before. But now, as she's getting older, we can see it's not a purebred at all.
Yeah, sure.
And we bought her from a big vet shop in Perth. And paid top dollar.
When you say a vet shop, a pet shop, you mean?
No, a pet shop, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's probably unlikely.
We spent a lot of money at the vet store so far, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And, as she's getting older, hair is everywhere, And it's getting long legs and getting different features and stuff like that. Yeah.
Did you have any papers, PJ?
The only thing that we got, matey, was, the little booklet, and it says Pomeranian inside it, passport.
So there was no piece of almost parchment with, the lineage.
For $2,500, we weren't too sure what it was about.
Well, I would have hoped that it would have been pedigree for that, but you'd need to view the pedigree. The pedigree is a very official-looking document which shows the lineage of both sire and dam down the page. And it's been signed, it's registered with the Canine Association, and so you know you've got a pedigreed thoroughbred dog. If you've got a dog from a pet shop, as much as these dogs often come from the eastern states, or
that's what we're looking at too. And then we found something local, and they were going like hot pancakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she kind of said, "Look, they're $2,500 each," and I kind of grabbed the last. We grabbed that little beauty.
Well, the concept of buying dogs from pet shops, which may or may not come from puppy mills, and I'm not going to get into that, but dogs that are coming from the eastern states, people do pay up to that sort of figure because it's a bit like buying a brand. You know, you buy a BMW or a Volvo or something.
Can they pay more than that
because
as
you know
well,
that you get. Oh, yeah, they can. They can. They charge because a dog might. You know how big it's going to grow. They can say, hey, here's a puppy. It's crossed between this or that breed. Therefore, we know roughly how big it's going to be and how it's going to behave. And so you're sort of getting, they were called pumpkin. Remember the pumpkin patch
the
dolls?
Cabbage patch dolls.
Cabbage patch dogs, yeah. Dolls, yeah. Well, it's sort of like a little cabbage patch pedigree.
They came with certificates too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. So it tells you the parameters within which the dog is going to be in terms of size and age and so on. And so a lot of the time there is a premium paid for those sorts of dogs. I very much doubt that PJ's dog is a pedigree dog in the true sense, and it certainly from his estimation doesn't seem to be.
But pedigree in the sense that he paid a lot for it.
Yeah, I would take it along to your local vet and they should be able to tell you, pretty roughly what it is.
We've been there, and that's what they turn around and said. And it's got to a point that, look, do we go up to the vet store and say, hey, you know what I mean, or let them know?
If they sold the dog as a thoroughbred Pomeranian, then I think you've got every reason.
For that kind of money, you automatically think.
For about $120, PJ, you can get a blood test done, a DNA test done, and they'll give you a good indication of the lineage of the dog. Now, often dogs that are crossed, it'll be very difficult because you'll have all sorts of breeds in it, which will amaze you. But with pedigree dogs, there ought to be a reasonable thread which should show you that the dog is at least, coming from that background.
The trick too, PJ, I guess, is making sure that that's what they promised you.
Exactly.
Because if you go back and they say, well, we never said that.
From a legal point of view, that's exactly right. Yeah. And it doesn't sound like you've got a lot of documentation, so I really don't think you've got much of a leg to stand on, mate, but I'm not a lawyer, but I'd get the blood test done and go from there. But they'll love it a bit. So, it doesn't matter what they look like. You just love them.
Definitely. But at the end of the day, I just don't. Because we live in a flat, and the problem is, and we've got hair everywhere, and we brush all the time.
But you're also expecting it to be a certain size.
Bearing in mind, though, being a Spitz breed, they do have a dense inner coat, so there is a dense coat you're going to have to brush out. I mean, look at Samoyeds, which are also part of the Spitz group. We're constantly in our grooming department, not so much clipping them, but getting rid of the dead hair. Mm. I've got one client who comes in on Sunday and spends about 3 hours herself by herself up in the grooming area doing it and just grooming for hours and hours, you know, about two or three times a month. So I don't think that the fact that you're seeing hair necessarily precludes that she's not a pedigreed Pomeranian.
Right.
So what I was going to get to, you know how Pomeranians, when they're a little pup, they shed their hair once, right, apparently, and then they get a new coat. Would it be that, or...
Well, it could be, but I still think you're going to get this dead hair and this hair that's going to have to be groomed out anyway along the way. Because the Spitz generally are a double-coated dog.
Nice, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
There you go. All right, PJ. Sorry to give you the bad news there, but thank you for your call.
It could be worse. I mean, it could have grown the size of a German Shepherd or something.
That hasn't stopped growing.
In the apartment.
That'd be a nightmare. All right, we'll come back and have a chat to Fran in a tick, wanting to cohabitate between species, amongst other things. If you want to ask Tony a question before we wrap it up, 9221 882, 14 to 2 now.
Every Sunday morning on 6PR, we open the door to the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness is all about helping you live a healthier and more enjoyable life. This week on the show, our experts are here to help you. Australia's favourite fitness trainer, Michelle Bridges, is back to answer all your questions about getting fit and staying fit. And our pharmacist and herbalist, Joel Quigley, takes your calls as well. Get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous with the House of Wellness.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings. The House of Wellness, now at the new time of 6, every Sunday morning on 882 6PR.
Over the years, we've been getting less and less rain, which means less stream flow to our dams. Our state has also been getting hotter. A problem this serious has needed an equally serious response by diversifying our sources. We're now less dependent on rain. Already, around 40% of our water comes from desalination, and we're working with businesses and councils to save water too. But we all need to play our part in WA's water future. For tips on how, search WaterWise WA.
Right now at Target, save $10 when you spend $60 or more on our new season clothing, sleepwear, underwear, footwear, accessories and homewares. But hurry, offer ends October 9. Conditions apply, see in store for details. Now at Target.
No one offers a wider range of aged care services than Amana Living. Our home care services help people stay independent and at home longer. We do things like washing, gardening and meals, or helping with medications and bathing, and maybe even a spot of makeup in the mornings. Bit of glamour never goes astray. We take care of things so our clients can get on and enjoy life. Amana Living, helping you really live the second half of life.
Feel the freedom this summer with an Evinrude outboard from Shivers Marine. Enjoy more time on the water, built with innovative direct injection technology to deliver more torque, better fuel economy and reliability. Shivers Marine has amazing prices on Evinrude at the Mandra Boat Show. Plus, save up to $1,500 on 40 to 200 horsepower engines. See Shivers Marine at the Mandra Boat Show, October 7 to 9. Go faster and further this summer with an Evinrude engine.
Danmar Developments make developing easy. We take care of all the processes for you, from initial feasibility, which is absolutely critical, through to concept, shire and completion. With a focus on multiple dwellings, group dwellings and apartments, our professional and highly experienced staff are ready to guide you through your next development. So if you've thought about developing, take the first steps today with the help of Danmar Developments. See danmardevelopments.com.
Getting your garden growing with Wardex Garden Centres. The Wardex Spring Sale has sprung. Get the best prices in Perth on manures, soil conditioners and mulches with 3 36-litre bags for $20. That's right, just $20 for 3 large 36-litre bags. Now is the best time to prepare and improve your garden. For the best results, make sure you use Wardex manures, conditioners and mulches. With 4 great locations, find the Wardex Garden Centre nearest you at wardex.com.au.
Until 3, you're listening to Darren DeMello on 6PR, the voice of Perth.
It's 11 to 2, and we're here with Dr. Tony Vergano from Swanbourne Vet Centre. Before we get back into some more of your calls, though, let's have a little peek on conditions. Angus Moore is on the line from the Bureau of Meteorology. He's our duty forecaster this afternoon. How's it looking, Angus?
Pretty good out there at the moment. Nice sunny day. and we got to a top of 18 degrees a short while ago. So 19, actually, 18.5.
Made the max. Very nice.
Yeah, not too bad out there today. So, yeah, looking a little bit more spring-like. Going into tomorrow, we're actually...
change, though, won't it?
Yeah, yeah, we're not quite out of the woods yet. We've got a couple of cold fronts along the way, a weaker sort of one coming up on Friday, so we'll see a few showers with that. A minimum of 7 degrees with a top of 19. And then Saturday, we're still in a sustained sort of westerly, southwesterly flow, so we'll see a slightly stronger front move over the southwest of the state during Saturday. So a good day to stay inside and watch the footy, I guess.
Fair enough.
A minimum of 12 with a max of 18, showers and windy conditions. And then easing a little bit on Sunday, probably just a light shower and a southwesterly flow, getting down to a minimum of 10 with a top of 18 with a possible light shower.
Lovely. Thank you, Angus. Appreciate it.
No, but...
Latest from the Bureau there, it's 9 to 2, and time for us, before we wrap it up, to have a few more calls with Dr. Tony Vergana from Swanbourne Vet Centre. Fran in Gosnells, you want to cohabitate with a couple of species here.
Well, I've got a 4-year-old ragdoll cat, and about a year ago we had to have our little Westie dog, she was quite elderly, euthanized. We would dearly love to get another dog, but my problem is, ideally I'd like to get a puppy.
Yes, I agree with you, Fran.
I don't want all the... We're both over 65, and I'm sort of thinking about all the training, etc., etc. But I'm wondering, how would I go if I got a slightly older dog that was already trained, maybe from the dog's home or something like that? I get the feeling that maybe my cat might not like the idea.
I've got a feeling too, Fran. I think older cats generally don't mind puppies because they realise the juvenile puppy will win the cat over because of its naivety and lack of guile, whereas a dog that comes in with some sort of preconceived ideas of what cats are and certain breeds you have to stay away from, they'll chase the cat, and that'll be the end of any sort of rapport. The cat needs to stand its ground that first time, and with a puppy it's much easier. I've got I introduced recently a 2-year-old Staffy into my household with an old cat, and without question, even though the cat weighs 4 kilos and the Staffy weighs 20.
I can see where this is going.
The cat weight wins hands down. The dog will frolic around, she'll biff him, and that'll be the end of it. But some dogs...
I mean, Monty's not exactly old. He's only 4.
Look, it depends on what sort of relationship you're in. I would have suggested to you that you get a similar sort of dog. But you try and get a quiet. If you're going to get an older dog, make sure you get a quiet one, preferably one that's been with cats before, and then introduce them very carefully, because that first meeting is important.
If I did decide on going with the puppy and making that effort to do that, have you got any advice? It would have to be a small dog. Have you got any advice? If I didn't go with another Westie, have you got any advice as to one that would be very easy to train?
Look, I think something like a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, a gentle breed. I wouldn't necessarily get a Staffy, although a Staffy puppy, it's going to probably be too much for you anyway.
Yes, they're
a real handful.
Our Westie was absolutely delightful.
Yes, yeah. I'd be inclined to get a dog of a similar size, but I would try and stick away from something like a Jack Russell Terrier, which are pretty hard at it, and as puppies they'll chase this cat. And it really is important that they meet and you supervise the first meeting so that the cat meets the dog and the dog doesn't immediately leap on it or do something which is going to scare it for the rest of their relationship. So I'd get a quiet, gentle sort of a dog, poodle-type dog, cavalier-type dog. Some of the first crosses I think are great, the schnoodles and the cavaliers and the pugaliers and these sorts of things are really nice, nice crosses and gentle dogs. And as puppies, very, very, naive and non-threatening for a cat a resident cat.
Yeah, the cat of the house. Yeah. Pescata de la Puscata de la Casa, as I like to call him, in our house. Anyway, Fran, that's my mangling of Italian there. Fran, hopefully that's some help for you there.
Yes, thank you for your advice.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Fran.
And just quickly, I think we might be able to slip in Jenny in Canningvale before we wrap it up. G'day, Jenny.
Hi. I just wanted to ask the vet his opinion on my dog had major surgery earlier this year. For a benign tumour and had the gallbladder removed and the left adrenal gland removed.
Oh, okay, wow.
and has got Cushing's disease.
Yes, of course, yep.
It's a shih tzu.
Yep.
He's on trilistane, 30 yep. milligram mm-hmm. twice a day.
Yep.
At the moment, for the last week and a half, no sleep, going insane with the itching and the scratching.
Mm.
And I didn't quite catch the name.
Yes, the drug, and I was just thinking, for those people who don't know, Cushing syndrome is an overproduction of cortisol in the body, and it's usually caused through a pituitary tumour, which is the trigger endocrine organ for the site that produces it, which is the adrenal gland. And so it's either a tumour of the trigger organ or one of the organ that's producing the product. You've had the adrenalectomy, I think you said, and the gallbladder removed. And so the scratching, to my knowledge, Apoquel would be perfect for this dog. I wouldn't think, have any side effects with trilistane. And I would think it would be absolutely perfect, but I think you should speak to your local vet about that, because Apoquel is a cytokinase inhibitor and it works entirely. It's a new class of drug. It should not cause issues with the medication the dog's already on, and it'll certainly stop it scratching.
Jenny, I wish we had some more time, but hopefully that's some help for you there. We've got to head to news shortly, but Apoquel, hopefully some good advice there. Jenny, thanks for your call. We'll put some more advice up on the website, but Dr. Tony Vergano, thank you for dropping in and plugging us in, as always. We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, Darren.
Much obliged.